Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Enforcement action by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents here in Chicago have people in immigrant communities on edge. Undocumented immigrants and their families are being swept up into the supposedly mass deportation nets. But the casualties are not just immigrants. Businesses are being hurt as well. And this weekend, we talk with some business leaders. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. For weeks, many business leaders have been warning that if President Trump made good on his threats of unprecedented mass deportations, American business would suffer. Well, the enforcement actions are here, and we're going to get some reports from the front lines this weekend. My guests include Rebecca Shee, CEO of the American Business Immigration Coalition. That's a bipartisan organization of corporate CEOs, retired CEOs, and others in the business community. And also Sam Toya, CEO of the Illinois Restaurants Association. News radio listeners are already familiar with Sam and his advocacy on behalf of the hospitality industry. And I say welcome to you both and thank you. Rebecca Shee, let's start with you. What are you and your members seeing around them, across the country? Because you are a national organization.
Sure. And it's nice to see you again, Craig. Over this last week, our members, we have 1,700 employers around the country, are seeing increased enforcement actions and deportations by ICE, reports of people both with criminal history, but many, many people with zero criminal history being picked up, detained and deported. And this has created a chilling effect on businesses and their team members. And, this is a total economy. I mean, the costs and inflation for everyday Americans are going to go up if this continues.
And, we tend to think of urban environments where these kinds of things happen. Rebecca, it's not just that, is it?
No, we have reports from farmers and ranchers of ICE coming in, doing sweeps, picking up workers, including workers with zero criminal history. We have a report coming out of Florida where a worker with zero criminal history and is being sponsored for his green card got arrested by ICE yesterday and now is in removal proceedings. So it is affecting our farmers and it's going to eventually affect our food supply chain. I mean, look, eggs are already $8 a carton and that could double. We can see milk starting to disappear from the shelves. Cows need to get milked three times a day, 365 days a week, a year. And so without our hardworking farm workers, we may not see milk or yogurt or cottage cheese that we enjoy.
Now, speaking of the food chain, Sam Toya, we talked just a week ago ahead of the sweeps. How are the restaurants faring in Chicago? Well, across Illinois.
Well, thanks for having me. And the restaurant owners, operators are very anxious. We always tell them to comply with the law. So they're doing that. And we tell them also every time they hire an employee to make sure they have documents before they start working. However, if an ICE agent does come in, treat him or her like you would a health inspector, comply with the law. If they have a warrant, okay. But here's the thing: you have 72 hours to turn over I-9 forms. So if ICE comes in, we want them to contact the Illinois Restaurant Association. We will, put them in contact with immigration groups such as Rebecca's and others. We do have pro bono lawyers on to work with team members. Again, we want to comply with the law, and we definitely agree dangerous people should be deported. No one wants murders or cartels in their neighborhood, especially the immigrant community. But to answer your original question, there's a lot of anxiety out there right now.
I have any of your members, to your knowledge, gotten visits from ICE yet?
We have not heard of any, knock on wood. We've heard some rumors, and then when we checked out the rumors, they weren't true. We have heard that some team members are not coming to work because of the anxiety. We have heard that ICE have gone to some people's homes, and that's where we're really concerned that when they go to people's homes or wherever they're going, that maybe they are going for the dangerous people, and that's great. But what's happening is that some other folks are being sucked in that are in the family that don't have any any problems with the law or anything like that. And if we do the mass deportation, as Rebecca said, we're going to see inflation go through the roof. This country could see inflation that it hasn't seen since the late 70s or the early 80s, because this doesn't just affect the hospitality industry. It affects the farm industry, the construction industry, the essential workers. That's why we're hopefully that the Trump administration brings both the Republicans and the Democrats to the table and try to finally figure out immigration reform, because Chicago is a city of immigrants and the country is a country of immigrants. So we need to come to the table and figure this out. And we're hoping that the Trump administration does bring everyone to the table and we figure this out. As we all know, Senator Durbin has always been at the forefront of trying to get something done on immigration reform.
Indeed. And I want to talk more about immigration reforms. But I also, Rebecca, she sort of touching on what Sam did there. What kind of chilling effect are you seeing for business communities themselves? Because it's not just people coming into work for these businesses, whether they be restaurants or stores, but it's coming downtown, Little Village, for example. Well, I've had a couple of reporters tell me that they've been going to interview people, and there aren't a whole lot of people around to interview.
Yeah, I mean there's fear. Little Village, as we know, we call it the second Magnificent Mile, because of the economic contributions and the revenue that the 350 mostly Mexican American businesses generate for our great city. And so we've heard reports from restaurant owners, store owners on 26th Street that foot traffic has slowed down up to 50%. People are not shopping, people are not eating out. And we've heard reports, including places like Target or Walmart, that people are just afraid and not showing up. And we know what that does in terms of revenue for our city and for our state. And beyond that, I mean, people are also have a family to feed and they also pay rent. And so when there is a slowdown, as we've seen in the pandemic, it affects the whole economy as a whole.
Yeah, and let's talk about that because, as you both have said, our economy is at least partially built on immigrants. But Rebecca, do you have numbers on the percentages of the American workforce or any particular industries that really rely on immigrants?
Sure. And Sam can speak to the percentages in hospitality. In agriculture, 72% of the workforce, and agriculture is a $3 trillion industry, 72% of that workforce is foreign born. In construction, housing, 40% are foreign born. In manufacturing, over 30% are immigrants and foreign born.
And Sam, the restaurant industry, how or hospitality in general, because I know you deal with that as well.
Yeah, so we know there's over 586,000 people that work in the food service restaurant industry here in the state of Illinois. And within the Chicago area, we think it's around 300,000. And we know that 40%, or we're, you know, it might be a little around 40% are immigrants. Nationwide, from the National Restaurant Association, we know that 20% are immigrants that work in the hospitality industry. But here in Chicago, we estimate it at 40%, and we estimate there's over 300,000 people within the Chicago area that work in the restaurant hospitality industry. So it is a big number. Immigrants have always been the backbone of the hospitality industry here in Chicago, from the Eastern Europeans to the Greeks to the Italians to the Asians to the Africans to the Latinos to the Mexicans. That's what makes this city the culinary capital of the United States, the immigrant community. And we have to make sure we figure out something as we move forward here. And we're hoping Trump leads with some immigration reform.
And I wonder though, because we have been talking about those numbers for a long time, and I think until recently people have accepted and in fact embraced those numbers. But is public opinion, perhaps because of the political atmosphere that we are in, starting to shift where I don't know whether people are not realizing how much of their lives depend on this workforce? But the people are now starting to look down on the population and think, no, we want them out of here. Are you fighting public opinion, Rebecca, when you're talking about immigration reform or immigration in general?
Yeah, I mean, what we have seen over the last 4 years, and something that you see also in exit poll in terms of American public who voted for President Trump, including Latinos, Asians, immigrant voters that voted for President Trump. One thing was really clear is that people did not like the chaotic border, that people wanted to have a secure, safe, and orderly process for immigration. And I think, as we have seen in places like Chicago, Denver, New York, that's also brought it home to us in terms of the reason immigration. At the same time, including last week, Fox News ran a poll that showed, yes, close to 70% of the American public support securing the border, but also support a path to legal status for people that have been here, law-abiding, working, paying taxes for decades, right? And have set deep roots and equities in this country. Many are married to U.S. citizens or have U.S. citizen children. And so they're deeply rooted. So I think it was a message to your question, Craig, about public opinion. It was both a message of, look, we need to have a secure, safe border, and people haven't felt that the last 4 years. But at the same time, the public opinion around people that have been here working, paying taxes, many in mixed status families, the support for this population is still strong, and it holds.
It's a little
And
bit
that's
of a,
why.
yeah, it's a little schizophrenic in some ways, where people support and oppose. Are you still finding people who have the impression that immigrants are taking jobs away from native-born Americans? Are people still saying that? I mean, are you hearing that? Sam, are you hearing anyone saying that?
You know, I haven't heard it as much as I used to, Craig, because as you well know, inflation is gone up, but also unemployment has gone down. So there's anyone that really wants a job, there's jobs out there. And we've seen that, you know, since the post-pandemic, that inflation is, like I said, under 5% here in the state of Illinois, throughout the country. So we're not hearing that. What we're still hearing is that there is a lot of job openings still, and we need to fill those job openings, you know, because to feed a growing population, we need both Americans and immigrants to fill essential roles in the food service industry. So that's why we say mass deportation could lead to labor shortages, which we're having right now. That's impact that could be definitely impacting the economy and excessive operational efficiency of restaurants across Illinois. So no, I have not heard that recently.
And Rebecca, I know that you've looked at that picture as well, that there are jobs going wanting out there. Are there not?
Yeah, if every American who is looking for work finds a job today, we would still have 1.7 million open jobs.
That is a number that I think people should pay attention to. You are listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about immigration, deportation, and the business community. My guests are Rebecca Shi, CEO of the American Business Immigration Coalition, and coalition member Sam Toya, CEO of the Illinois Restaurant Association. Well, let's talk about immigration itself, because it seems right now everybody's thinking about the border and thinking about pushing people out, maybe according to the president, to Guantanamo, which, you know, is taking us back to other times. What are the kinds of immigration reforms that you think could get some traction now, even amidst all this chaos? Rebecca, let me start with you.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity right now, as we have seen the president taking a sledgehammer to our immigration system, as he's doing to many institutions, that it is a great time right now to have the conversation, the discussion about doing a fix through Congress, a bipartisan solution, particularly for our essential sectors like hospitality, construction, healthcare, housing. These sectors don't, you know, they marginally impact immigrants, but they translate into a quality of life for everyday Americans and has impact on solutions. So, you know, one thing that we're pushing for, in addition to the DREAM Act, which, you know, the president has already said that he wants to do, and like Sam said, our senior senator, Senator Durbin, has been filing the DREAM Act every single year for the last 20 years. So that's a great place for bipartisanship. Let's get the DREAMers, young people that grew up here and are highly contributing, a path to legal status, but as well as our essential workers, you know, in hospitality, in agriculture, people that are here, been decades, valuable members of our teams, to get them a pathway to legal status, to legal work permit. And also, this helps to shield the law-abiding contributors from this expanded enforcement that we're seeing.
And Sam, what are the kinds of things that that you would like to see tackled? What about the border? What are the other things that should be done?
Absolutely. So I piggyback on what Rebecca said. First off, on the DREAMers, we know there's 1.8 million of them. We would like to see give them a pathway to citizenship. And we've been talking about that for a while. And you got to remember, DREAMers are people that were children that came to this country when they were like 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. But besides that, on the border, yes, obviously the majority of the people, they spoke, they want border control. They want possibly the wall or possibly security down there, whatever bipartisan, that the president can get through Congress would be great. But we definitely need border security. That's what the majority of the people spoke. I agree with that. They also want to see the dangerous people, you know, out. But we also got to think about the essential workers, right? So we would love to see work visas for people in the hospitality industry. We know that the Trump administration's talking about getting work visas for people in the Silicon Valley. But again, this would disrupt our, obviously, our, if, you know, to feed people here in the United States. So we would really like to see work visas for essential workers at the same time come up with some great ideas for the border as well.
And Rebecca, I should point out, are you came to the United States as a child, correct?
Yes, correct. I came here from China when I was 10 years old.
Yeah, and you were a dreamer?
I was not a dreamer. I became a U.S. citizen when I was 18 years old. But I got involved in advocating for immigration reform and have been working closely with Sam Toya and the Restaurant Association over the years because my mom actually was undocumented. And very fortunately, she has citizenship today. But she was a doctor in China. And when she didn't have legal status, she worked 2-3 jobs. She worked in a nursing home, taking care of the elderly. She worked in restaurants. And so just like, you know, immigrants who are here today, who are, you know, incredible work ethic, incredible optimism. And I think these are people like my mom, who should have a path to legal status. My mom didn't even have anything like, you know, a parking ticket, right? So, and she's, you know, that's the majority of immigrants.
Well, and excellent for your family, and those of us who have been covering the immigration issue for a long time can vouch for the fact that Rebecca has been in and around that for quite a while. But let's talk about how you get something like that passed in an atmosphere where it is easy for people to demagogue it. You know, what do you say to people in Congress? What do you say to the Republican side of the aisle to get them on board the kinds of reforms that were agreed to before the presidential race intervened?
I'll take that real quick. So what we're doing, I'm working with Rebecca and ABEC and also with the National Restaurant Association, other my colleagues in other states. We know because obviously they're having the same issue with hospitality workers like in Florida, like the Florida Restaurant Association is stepping up. The North Carolina Restaurant Association is stepping up. So we are also working with other restaurant associations throughout the country. And you notice I just brought up Florida and North Carolina, which are red states. So we need to advocate in these red states, that's not blue states like Illinois, and the restaurants are huge throughout the country, right? I mean, it's just the second largest private sector employer here in the country. So we're trying to also work with hospitality leaders in these red states as well, because they need to get essential workers for their restaurants and their hospitality industry. That's why we need to work on this from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean, and everyone needs to push to get working visas for our essential workers in the hospitality industry.
Do you also have to make contact or make pleas to the White House itself? What hope do you have of getting to a point where the president doesn't step in and say, no, everybody get off that bill? Rebecca?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that the advocating with the president is a major part of the strategy. You know, just to recall, right, during his first term in 2018, the president actually doubled the number of H-2B visas, which provides, you know, seasonal workforce to hotels and including the Trump International Hotel and Golf Association. And so the president is a businessman. He's in hospitality, and I think he understands intimately who works in restaurants and hotels. So absolutely, he is somebody that the business community will advocate with. And then just a second thing, I think, you know, the other shift that we saw this last election is the shift of Latino voters towards Republicans, right? We've seen even in significant Latino wards in the city of Chicago, how those numbers, you know, doubled in some places. And so, but we also know this is a population that deeply cares about their family members. And so, you know, it's also politically smart, you know, for both sides to actually address this issue and not politicize it, you know, if they want to see the electorate grow. So I think, this is an issue where it's not just economically important, and the work that we're doing with employers and with Sam Toya and the National Restaurant Association to demonstrate that, that this is what's going to help to reduce inflation, which was the other big issue that helped to elect President Trump. But also that this is an issue, if you get this right, right, is also politically smart.
Are we seeing any effect of the moving away from, or at least trying, the president trying to get companies and government to move away from diversity, equity, and inclusion? You know, a lot of business places had been embracing what's now just being labeled DEI. But are you seeing any effect on this battle in that sector as well? You know, are you seeing companies sort of being torn, being afraid of admitting that they want to have diverse workforces? I'm guessing not. If neither one of you is answering,
I haven't heard anything as of yet. I mean, obviously we've heard that out there, but I have not have anyone reached out to me and go deep with me on that subject quite yet, Craig.
Yeah, I suspect that some company, I mean, in the hospitality industry, the workforce is very diverse.
Very.
And I haven't heard anybody, maybe people just aren't talking about it. Do you think that's it? That those companies that want to continue doing what they're doing are just not saying anything about doing it, and they're just going ahead and continuing to hire people the way they've been hiring them for the last, decade?
Well, let's be realistic here. President Trump has only been president now less than 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So I think people are trying to get their heads around a lot of things right now, Craig. And I think these, they're very, obviously they care about immigration reform. They care about the border, but they also definitely really care about inflation. You know, a lot of people voted for the president because he said he would bring inflation down. So I think, there's just so much that's been thrown at the general public that I don't think people are digesting everything quite yet. They are obviously hearing about mass deportation, but the subject you're bringing up right now, I don't think they've really gotten their head around that yet.
Hmm. And inflation has sort of escaped the spotlight because of all the action around immigration. But I know, as you both have pointed out, the prices aren't going down right now.
They are not. As Rebecca brought up earlier, what is the dozen eggs, Rebecca? How much are they costing right now?
Well, they're $8. But if you go to Costco, you sometimes don't even see eggs. We have a supply chain problem.
That's because I know this from a personal experience. That's because they ran a sale and they get cleaned out immediately. Because if it's something lower than $5 a dozen, they're going to sell out immediately. Rebecca, what is the next step for the coalition to as it moves forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's like what Sam said, like at the end of the day, the buck stops at Congress. We have an immigration system that's tied to a 1986 economy, because that was the last time we actually had immigration reform under Reagan. And so we know that our economy and our industries are light years ahead now. And so we actually need a deep fix. And we believe that Congress and President Trump can't get to an agreement that, yes, secures the border and can secure our workforce. And that means creating a reliable and orderly process for employers and workers to be able to have legal pathways and work here and contribute and bring down the price of food and housing for everyday Americans.
Are you confident that you've got at least a base of support, a bipartisan base of support, as you move forward, and not just, Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth, but, across the country? What are you seeing, some Republicans willing to join the fray?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as we're just seeing the fear and the panic created around the mass deportations, but also just seeing Congress actually, Trump signed a bill on immigration this last week, and it was a bipartisan bill, and it was the first time Congress came together on a bipartisan bill on immigration, probably, you know, in more than a decade, right? So it's clear that Congress and Trump is taking this seriously, and you know, working with the Restaurant Association and other stakeholders that let's, you know, figure out this piece about securing our workforce as well, and in a way that protects our operators, strengthens our operators, and also create legal pathways for our hardworking essential workers.
Well, that's going to be the final word. Thank you, Rebecca Shee of the American Business Immigration Coalition. Thank you, Sam Toya of the Illinois Restaurant Association. It's been a great half hour, and I appreciate both of you being here. To our listeners, if you'd like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website, wbbmnewsradio.com. There's a link on the homepage, and you can also find our podcasts on odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.